invite you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. Be back in verse 20. Mark, chapter 11, starting in verse 20. We'll read through 26. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning. "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would reveal yourself to us through your word. Father, that we would listen to this command from the Savior, to have faith in you. And Father, we confess that we do believe, but we pray that you would help our unbelief. Help us with our doubts, with the weakness of our flesh. Help us to trust in you more. Help us to see your power. Help us to have no confidence in the flesh, but yet trust in a most loving and gracious and merciful Father. Father, help us to be encouraged by the things that our Savior says here, and may we be able to find direct application to our life. Holy Spirit, Father, please speak through your word. Speak what is needed this morning, and help us to humbly receive it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to go back to this passage, even though we looked at it last time. I spent more time on the first part of it that we looked at last time, where Jesus had cursed the fig tree, and we looked a little bit about why Jesus did that. What was the purpose of him doing that? What did it symbolize? And then we looked about how Jesus went into the temple and the things that Jesus did there, the things that Jesus said there, and considered those things. And then we read this passage, but I really didn't speak much about it because I had spent most of the time talking about those things before it. But this really is a wonderful passage of Scripture here, and so important for us to look at once again. I want to title this message, "The Importance of Faith, Prayer, and Forgiveness." The importance of faith, prayer, and forgiveness. The disciples had witnessed once again another one of the miracles of Christ. Jesus just simply speaking the word to this fig tree, saying, "May you never bring forth fruit again." Just simply him simply saying those words, and the tree begins to wither away. And the disciples are amazed once again at the power of Christ as they see him speak these words. He can speak life and he can speak death. He can speak blessing and he can speak cursing. And they've seen this time and time again. And Peter, being a spokesperson for the disciples many times, he says, "Jesus, look what happened to the fig tree that you cursed." He stands in amazement even after Jesus having done this kind of thing before. He's seen Jesus walk on water. He's seen Jesus turn water into wine. He's seen Jesus feed multitudes of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's seen Jesus heal lepers. He's seen him heal the blind. He's seen him heal the crippled. He's seen Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle. But yet, he is still amazed whenever Jesus does another miracle. Why is that, brothers and sisters? Because we are weak in the flesh. And we need to be constantly reminded of God's power over and over and over again. Because as Jesus would say to the disciples, he often says to us, "O ye of little faith, how long have I been with you? How long have you seen the miracles? How many times have you seen the Father work through me? How many times have you heard me tell you who I am? And you've seen it testified." Yet, Jesus reminds them on this occasion, you need to have faith in God. It's not enough just to have seen miracles. It's not enough to have just heard about miracles. You need to believe in God. You need to believe in His power. So I find this encouraging to me today, that no matter how many times I've seen God work in the past, I still need to have faith, and I still need to spend time in prayer, and I need to have a heart of forgiveness to still be able to worship God on a daily basis. The importance of faith and prayer and forgiveness. So we know that in Mark's account, it says, "And in the morning, the next day, after they were coming back to Jerusalem from Bethany, they came back by this tree that Jesus had cursed the day before he had gone into the temple." And it says, "In the morning, as they passed by," in verse 20, "they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." You know, that's there for a purpose. And I think the purpose for us is to understand that in Jesus cursing this fig tree, when it was cursed and Jesus says, may never fruit be on this tree again. When Jesus gives a command like that, we see that it is accomplished. And so when Jesus said that we see here the result of that, and we look in Matthew chapter 21, and in Matthew's account, he doesn't separate the days, but in his account, he says that as soon as Jesus had spoken the words, he says that the tree began to wither away. So we see, once again, the power of Christ and the result of when Christ speaks, things happen. And so, the disciples were once again brought to see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it says it dried up from the roots. The word "dried up" means to shrivel, to dry up, to pine away, to wither away. This tree just looked like a dead tree. From the roots, this was a complete destruction. And that's what we see also in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen it in His healings, and we see it here in His cursing. When He does something, He does it completely. When He heals, He heals completely. When He curses completely. When He blesses completely. And so the disciples see this. Peter says, calling in remembrance that Jesus had cursed this tree the day before, said, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." How did this happen? How can Jesus just speaking something and it comes to pass? So he is once again amazed at the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the proposition for today's text is that Jesus teaches that faith, prayer, and forgiveness are vitally essential to be able to worship God and to be able to do things that seem impossible in your life. Faith, prayer, and forgiveness are vitally essential to be able to worship God and to be able to do things that seem impossible in your life. Part of the question, part of the statement that Peter is making here is, not only is he amazed at the power of Jesus Christ, and he's saying, you know, look, this tree that you cursed, it's withering away, but there's also in this, because of the way Jesus answers it and what he goes on to say, there's this idea in here of, could we be able to do the same? Because Jesus says, right after he says this, he says, have faith in God. So why would he say that? We need faith in order to be able to serve God. We need faith to be able to worship God. We need faith to be able to be obedient to God, right? Faith is worked out through obedience. Hebrews tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we know faith is essential in the life of a child of God. It's essential in your life because God has called you and me to worship Him. He has created us to worship Him and to serve Him. And remember, brothers and sisters, that Jesus has gone into the temple and He's seen what the temple worship has become. And Jesus was not pleased with what the temple worship had become, was He? No. They were in there selling things. They were in there making a profit. They were in there taking advantage of other people. They were in it for themselves. And Jesus was not pleased with the worship that was going on. And they come back to this the next day, and he still got that on his mind. He says, in order to be able to worship God truly, in order to be able to worship God correctly, he says, you got to have faith in God. It's about believing in Him. It's about trusting in Him and having confidence in Him. Not your own ability, Peter. Right? And so he's answering this question that Peter has. First of all, be amazed at the power of Jesus Christ. Be amazed that when He speaks, the world was created. Be amazed that when He speaks a word into one of the life of His children, they have new life. They have spiritual life. Be amazed that one day He will say, come forth from the grave, and you will come forth from the grave. Be amazed that things in your life which seem impossible, He has been able to help you to overcome them. He has been able to help you get through them. He has given you the strength and the ability to persevere through the hard times. And I think that's what this is encouragement for you today, that if God has granted you the gift of faith, the gift of prayer, and in that, the gift of forgiveness, then He has given you the things that you need in order to be able to worship Him truly. And He's given you the things that you need to be able to overcome any obstacle in your life. What is it in our lives? Whether it's a weakness in our flesh, whether it's a temptation from Satan, whether it's ungodliness in the world, what is it that faith that God gives can't overcome? There's nothing that faith can't overcome. And that's why He says, Peter, you're standing in amazement about that I've just spoken a word and this has happened to this tree. He says, you have faith in God, and you can say to a mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, He says, it could happen. That seems like, to me, one of the most impossible things that could happen. For me to go up to a mountain and say to a mountain, I want you, mountain, to be removed from the earth, and I want you to be cast into the sea. That seems like something a lot more impossible than a financial struggle, some kind of temptation that I'm having to overcome, some kind of hurt or pain that's happened to me that I'm having to deal with. If a mountain can be removed and cast into the sea with just a grain of a mustard seed, what can faith do in your life? And Jesus is commanding us, brothers and sisters. He says, have faith in God. Exercise your faith in God. Trust in God. Trust in the Father. Lean on the Father. Have confidence in what the Father can do in your life if you trust Him, if you believe in Him. And I think Peter has had to learn this lesson on other occasions. Keep your eyes on the Father. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where your strength comes from. When you rely upon yourself, you will fail. When you're relying upon yourself, you won't be able to overcome. You have to rely upon Him, because He is the only one strong enough. He is the only one powerful enough. Faith is the only thing that can overcome these obstacles in your life. But you know, before we talk about the importance of faith, just want to go back to how Jesus cursed this fig tree and why He cursed this fig tree. Remember, it didn't have any fruit on it. And Jesus uses this as a lesson, right? Partly to show that what was about to happen to the temple, this place that had always been a place where God was worshipped, a place where prayers had been offered up from the temple, where sacrifice had been offered up, a place where God's glory was manifested. But yet they had departed from the true worship of God. They were no longer bringing forth fruit. All they had was the outward appearance of worship. All they had were the leaves on the fig tree, but no figs on the fig tree. And Jesus is saying, what I have done to this fig tree and how it is going to be dried up from the roots and wither away, so this is about to happen to the temple. It will be destroyed and it will be no more. But the worship of God will continue. The worship of God will continue. And He says this is the key to this worship of God. Faith, prayer, and would you believe it, forgiveness. Why does Jesus talk about forgiveness here? Why is forgiveness so important? Jesus said in John 15:16, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Those that are not abiding in Christ, those that are not bringing forth fruit, are cast forth as branches from a tree and are withered. When they are cut off from the vine, they no longer have life in them. They no longer can bring forth fruit. They no longer can be any more useful. Hebrews 6:8 says, but that which bears thorns and briars is rejected. In Jude, he speaks about those false teachers, those false preachers. He says, their fruit withers. Their fruit withers. And what Jesus said about His disciples is, He says, you will know My disciples by their fruit. They will be producing spiritual fruit in their lives. If they're not producing spiritual fruit, they have no evidence of spiritual life. They have no evidence of being born again. He says, you will know them by their fruit. Those that do not abide in Me will be cast forth. But He says, those that abide in Me will bring what? Forth much fruit. Much fruit. If you are His, brothers and sisters, these things that Jesus talks about will be true of you, and you'll see them in your life. You will be exercising faith and trust and a confidence in God. You will be spending time in prayer, in the heart of prayer, and you will be full of forgiveness for others. Have faith in God. So number one, we have looked at the power and ability of Jesus Christ. What is it in your life right now? What is the greatest obstacle? What is the hardest thing for you right now? What is it that you are struggling with the most? Because all of us are struggling with things. All of us have sins in our life that we're trying to put to death still by the power of Christ. Financial struggles, physical struggles, mental struggles, relationship struggles. Some of you are going through really hard things right now. And what Satan tries to do in these times is he tries to get our eyes on ourselves. He tries to get our minds on the struggle. Instead of casting our eyes off of ourselves and onto Him. And He says, "Come to Me, you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you comfort. I will give you strength. Exercise your faith in Me. Have faith in God." The power and ability of Jesus Christ. He can help you overcome any struggle, any temptation, any burden. You have to have faith in God. What did our song say? Have faith in God. Take your burdens to the Lord and what?
Leave them
there. That's so hard to do. We want to hold on to our burdens. We want to hold on to our struggles. Sometimes we like to throw ourselves a pity party. But Jesus says, have faith in God. Get your eyes off of yourself and cast your eyes upon Me. Let your confidence not be in your own ability, but to be in His ability. Albert Barnes says, he may have meant here, have strong faith or have confidence in God. A strong belief that He is able to accomplish things that appear most difficult with infinite ease. Jesus says, just don't bring any more fruit. And it didn't. And He can say to you, to your struggle, with whatever it is, He can speak a word with ease and it can be gone. But you have to have faith in God, and as Jesus says, you have to not doubt. Not doubt. Have faith without doubting. A strong belief that He is able to accomplish things that appear most difficult with infinite ease, as He did with the fig tree. John Gill says, exercise and make use of the faith which God, for its author, which is the work of God and of His operation, a free grace gift of His, and which has God for its object, and is supported by His power and encouraged by His goodness, truth, and faithfulness. Not only that such things may be done as the drying up of the fig tree, but those that are much greater. You know, Jesus was teaching the disciples a lesson here. He's going to leave. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be put in the grave. He's going to rise again. But then He's going to go to the Father, and they will be left here. And you know, Jesus talked to them on other occasions about this, that He would grant them His strength, that He would grant them His power, and that they, if they were to trust in Him, if they were to rely upon Him, and they were to pray according to His will, they would be able to do things that they thought were impossible. And we read the book of Acts, and we see that that's the case. They were able to do things that seemed impossible. Things were done for them that seemed impossible. they were delivered from prison cells. Prison bars were just open and chains were undone. And they were just able to walk out on their own. Terrorists were overcome by the grace of God. And once were their enemies, were made their greatest friend. You see in the book of Acts that God, through faith, through the strength of faith that He gives, He's able to just overcome every obstacle to the gospel. And the gospel just continues to spread and continues to grow and continues to overtake the communities. Mark 9:23, we already looked at. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times. Are you trusting him right now in a difficult and hard time? Don't just trust him when things are going good. Trust him in the hard times. When you are going through depression, when you are struggling with guilt, with image, trust in him at all times. He's able to deliver you from that. Colossians 2:12 talks about how that faith is the operation of God. God is working on you, and he's given you this thing called faith so that you may have confidence in him and what he can do to your impossible situations. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, Jesus would say on another occasion, you can say to this mountain, be removed. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Matthew 17:20. And then Paul would write in Romans, and he would say in chapter 4, talking about Abraham, it would say that who against hope believed in hope. That's faith. Having hope when it looks like there is no hope. How can that be? How can you do that? When something seems like it's too hard to overcome or too hard to bear, how can you have hope? Because you believe in God. And with God, all things are possible. And with God, there's always hope. He is the God of the impossible. As we've seen over and over and over again. And so we have Jesus pointing them to his power, his ability. So number one, the power and ability of Jesus. Number two, faith without doubt. So he tells them, you got to have faith in God. And then he goes on to say that whoever says unto this mountain, be thou removed, and thou be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So this is very important for us to remember when we're talking about exercising faith in God, in worship and in life. We all struggle with doubt. Doubt in who we are. Doubt in our abilities. Doubt in being able to overcome this thing. Doubt that really God loves us. Maybe. Doubt that his plan is best. Why has this happened to me? How's God going to use this? Jesus says, you've got to have faith in God, and you've got to have faith in God without doubt. A complete trust and reliance upon him. That you believe that the heart of the Father knows what's best for you, and that he is working everything together for your good. And faith cast itself on that. And if we are having that kind of faith where it says, I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to look at myself. I'm going to cast my eyes upon him. Then we'll be in a place that when Jesus says, what we'll pray for are the things that he will give. Some have taken this text and other texts, and they've developed a whole doctrine of error. It's called the Word of Faith movement. And they just say, because Jesus said here, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. And so they say, you know, all you got to do is you got to speak it. You got to speak it into existence. You want happiness, just speak it in. Just say, I want to be happy. God will give you happiness. You want to be rich? Just say, I want to be rich. Just speak it into existence. Just pray. He says, whatever you pray about, He'll give it to you. I want to be rich. You want healing? You're sick. You've got a disease of the body. You've got an infirmity. You're just not appropriating faith. You just got to have faith. You're doubting somehow. That's error, brothers and sisters. That is blasphemy. Because we know the whole of Scripture, and that God says that sometimes there are things that we ask for that He says no to. And so we've got to understand these things in context. And we know from other teachings of Jesus Christ in His Sermon on the Mount and other passages that what He is saying is that when we have faith without doubting and our trust and reliance and confidence is upon Him, our prayer will be a sincere and a right prayer. And it'll be a prayer that's according to His will. So we've got to have faith without doubting. James Fawcett Brown says, here is the lesson now from the nature of the case supposed, that they might wish a mountain removed and cast into the sea, a thing for removed from anything which they could be thought actually to desire. It is plain that not physical but moral obstacles to the progress of His kingdom were in the Redeemer's view, and that what He designed to teach them was the great lesson that no obstacle should be able to stand before a confiding faith in God. There's no obstacle. Jesus is teaching much more than just about mountains or finances or health. He's teaching things about spiritual things. And so, true faith will pray, Thy will be done, not mine, O Lord. And so when you pray with faith without wavering, that's going to be a prayer that He answers, because it's going to be according to His will. When you pray selfishly or when you pray with doubt, it's not going to be according to His will. Jesus taught so much on this. So the power and ability of Jesus, faith, our faith has to be without doubt. James says that you've got to have faith without doubt. Don't be like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. And he says, when you pray, when you ask for wisdom, he says, God will grant it to you. God will grant it to you. Number three, the heart of prayer. I think this is what Jesus gets to. Talking about having faith in Him. And when we go to Him in prayer and we're saying, we have this mountain, for example, here, this great thing. We don't want to doubt, Father, what You can do. It seems insurmountable to us. I don't have the ability to be able to overcome it, but I'm coming to You and I'm asking You to grant me the faith without wavering, without doubting in You, that You can do it. And I want You to do according to Your will in my life and help me to accept it. That's the true heart of prayer. Not to get what you want. Prayer is not asking God for what you want and Him granting it to you. Wherefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Well, you could just take that verse and you could say right there, well, Jesus says, you know, whatever I want, just ask for it and I'll get it. But that would be taking the verse out of context. It would be not taking into consideration all the other things Jesus taught and all the other things the Bible teaches. He's saying this, that there will be spiritual obstacles in your life that will seem to you insurmountable. But if you exercise the faith that I've given you, and you cast yourself, your eyes and your heart and your mind upon me and my ability, and you don't doubt about what I'm able to do, when you pray for these things, these spiritual obstacles that you have in your life, according to His will, He will answer them, and He does answer them. And you will have what you pray for, because God will have given you the heart of prayer, which is to pray things according to His will. An example of this is found in Psalm 37, which says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And the desires of your heart will be to delight in the Lord. Amen. So if you're praying for that, then He'll be answering it, because it comes from Him. The heart of prayer is like Jesus did, trying to be in tune with the will of the Father. "Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." That's the heart of prayer. "Let Your will be done in my life. May Your will do Your will in my life." The prayer of faith, James says. The prayer of faith. The prayer that believes. The prayer that trusts in God. Not that it's asking for what it wants in natural things, not according to the will of God, but things that it needs according to the will of God. Do you need strength? Pray for it and God will give it to you. Do you need wisdom? Pray for it and God will give it to you. Do you need counsel? Pray for it and God will give it to you. God is able to meet all of our needs according to His riches in glory. That's through Jesus Christ, because He is the glory of God. John Gill says, "Therefore I say unto you," he says, "for encouragement in prayer more particularly, without which nothing should be attempted, especially which is above the power of nature and is of a miraculous kind." Gill says that we shouldn't attempt anything without first going to Him in prayer. So the heart of prayer is that we want the Father's will to be done, and that we would pray according to His will. According to His will. You know, he says when you stand praying, some could focus on that and say, well, when you pray, you've got to stand. Well, he's just talking about the custom of them in the temple. They would stand and they would pray. And they just came from the temple. And he's reminding them about this. But we know that scriptures teach of kneeling in prayer. It tells us about those who lay down on their face in prayer. And it tells us about those that stand up in prayer. The posture of prayer is not important. It's the attitude in prayer that's important. And that's what Jesus goes on to teach. Why does He bring in this thing about forgiveness? He's talking about them having faith in God. He's talking about them praying. And then He says, "And when ye stand praying," when you are praying, He says, "forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses." How many of us, when we spend time in prayer, are spending time forgiving others? Forgiving those who have hurt us. Forgetting those who have let us down. Forgiving those who have sinned against us or someone we loved. Jesus says that at the heart of prayer is realizing that you have been forgiven of all of your sins by the Father. And so that when you go to Him in prayer, what you will have on your heart is that I'm forgiven. I have been forgiven. You have forgiven me, one who has let you down, one who has let others down. You have forgiven me through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I should be willing, I am ready to forgive anyone who has sinned against me. That's the heart of prayer. And Jesus is reminding the disciples of this and encouraging them about having faith and being able to do impossible things. One of the impossible things would be to forgive their enemies, would be to pray for them. When Jesus left, it wasn't easy for the disciples. It was very hard. They were persecuted. They were hated. They were sought after. They were thrown in prison. They were beaten. They were put to death. And Jesus reminds them, if you're going to worship me, if you're going to be able to overcome and all those things, he says, you need to have faith. You need to pray. And you need to forgive. Because that's at the heart of God. That's at the heart of Christ. And he would go on to give them an example of this. Just to show that this wasn't just teaching. These weren't just words with Jesus Christ. Because in about 5 days from this, Jesus would be taken. And he would be beaten. And he would be mocked. And he would be ridiculed. And he would be treated harshly for our sins. And he would be nailed to a cross. And he would be hung up on a cross beside two thieves. And as people were spitting upon him, and as people were mocking him and making fun of him, he prays to the Father. And he says, Father, forgive them. Just to remind his disciples of his heart and of the Father's heart and of our heart. I just have to say that sometimes there are obstacles in our life that we are stuck in because we're not willing to forgive. We can't move on because we have not forgiven. Unforgiveness is a prison. Unforgiveness are chains that bind you. You have to cast them off. When you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. Your trespasses. There's the idea in here that those that have been forgiven by the Father will freely forgive. As you have been forgiven by the Father, so forgive others. And the idea here is that if you are not forgiving others, you have not been forgiven of the Father. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Jesus taught us when we pray, one of the things that we're supposed to pray is, Father, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. How can we be asking God to forgive us of our trespasses when we're not willing to forgive others of their trespasses against us? Which the weight of that is so much smaller in comparison to us offending God and Him forgiving us than of us offending one another. Forgive as we forgive. Matthew 14, if you forgive, your Father will forgive. If you don't forgive, your Father will not forgive you. Then Jesus would teach a parable on forgiveness in Matthew 18. Verses 23 through 35. Paul would remind us in Ephesians 4, forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. What does that mean? It means that you didn't deserve for God to forgive you. What you deserved is His wrath. What you deserve is His judgment. That's what you deserve. But He forgave you in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He did in suffering for you and in your place. He forgave you even though you didn't deserve forgiveness. And for the fact that you really deserved punishment. And so when He says you're to forgive people like I've forgiven you, you've got to forgive people that are in the wrong. You've got to forgive people that maybe in your estimation aren't worthy of being forgiven. Because that will show them the power of Christ in you. If you say, you know what, you hurt me like no one else could. And the pain is still there, and the pain will be there. But I did not hold you anymore under that. I forgive you. The scars will be there. The pain will be there. But you will not be holding over that over them. And that will be a great release to you. Colossians 3:13 says the same thing. Forgive as Christ forgave you. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiveness is at the heart of the gospel. And Jesus tells the disciples, if you're going to worship me the right way, not only are you going to be filled with faith, not only are you going to have lives filled with prayer and praying according to God's will, but you're always going to be forgiving those that trespass against you. John Gill says on how we're to forgive, freely and fully. Freely and fully, such as have trespassed against you, remit the debts they owe, and pass by the offenses and injuries done to you, and put up with every affront and indignity. So Jesus teaches that faith, prayer, and forgiveness are vitally essential to be able to worship God and to be able for you to be able to do things that seem impossible in your life. I pray that you can receive encouragement and comfort from God's Word today. And you'll listen to the words of Christ, and I will listen to the words of Christ. Have faith in God.